Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We learned on the Beacon Broadcast yesterday that the concept of unholy, the eighth item in this list of 19 manifestations of human sinfulness found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, the concept of unholiness, the opposite of holy, means number one, impure, and number two, profane. And the first one we dealt with on the broadcast yesterday, and the second one we're going to take up, Lord willing, on the broadcast today. Thank you for joining me for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast on this Friday, March the 4th. And if you would like to help support the Beacon Broadcast, then don't forget that our mailing address is Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201. And we really depend upon the financial support of our radio listeners. So, unholy. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. What is unholy? Unholy is the opposite of holy. To be holy means to be inwardly pure. To be holy means to be separate from sin, separated unto God. To be unholy means to be wedded to sin and not separated unto God. In other words, not belonging to God. To be unholy means to be inwardly impure, without any hard inclination or desire for eternal things, spiritual things, the things of God, and for His righteousness, which is not to say, I repeat, as I said on the broadcast yesterday, is not to say that one may not be religious. But if one is religious for the wrong reason, one is religious not out of a heart desire to know and love and serve God, but rather out of a heart desire to serve self, which is really what most religion is, self-serving. If that's the motive, you can do good things, religious things, but have the wrong motive, and that is unholy. The only motive that pleases God is that you are doing this for the glory of God. I'm doing it to please Him. I'm doing it to honor Him. I'm doing it to serve Him. I'm doing it because I love Him. I'm doing it out of gratitude for what He has done for me. That's the right motive, and when you do holy things for that motive, then you are manifesting holiness, inward purity. You are manifesting a heart that is inclined toward the things of God and His righteousness. But second to that concept of impure is the concept of profane. And that is without reverence for the established sanctities, unsympathetic toward religion, irreligious, secular, and militantly so. This is the other side of unholiness. The first side is more inward and more subtle, and there can be inward unholiness, impurity, without necessarily being anti-religious. But there's another kind of unholiness, which is just simply outwardly and openly profane. The word profane is the idea of stepping on sacred things. It comes from the concept of a threshold. And a threshold, as we know, is that strip along the bottom of the doorway. Sometimes it's incorporated into the door frame, and sometimes it is something else. But when you when you walk into a house, you generally step on or sometimes over the threshold, depending upon how it's built, but it's pretty difficult to completely step over the threshold in many cases. And so the threshold is what gets stepped upon just about any time anybody enters the house. And sometimes, of course, entering different rooms of the house is the same thing. Now, in my house, and probably yours too, most of the rooms don't have a definable threshold, but, for example, the bathroom does. So when I step into the bathroom, and there the threshold is smaller, it's narrower, so I'm more likely to step over it than upon it. But because it's on the floor, it is subject to being stepped upon. And that's the idea of profane. Profane is taking holy things and tramping all over them. Treating them as if they're dirt. Treating them as if they're common. Treating them as if they are no different than the most ordinary things of life. The things that are precious and sacred to us, we don't trample on. We don't leave them on the floor and step all over them. We carefully protect and preserve them. We put them up, out of the way, where they will not be mishandled, mistreated, and stepped upon. So the idea of profanity, we think of profanity as being cursing, swear words, and indeed swear words are a form of profanity, but profanity is bigger than that. Profanity is treating holy things as if they are unholy. So to use God's name in swearing and cursing, of course, is profanity because you're treating the holy name of God as if it is unholy. And we hear that all the time. So often that I'm afraid we become almost immune to it. But I hope we never get insensitive to the misuse of God. God's name. I am distressed by the frequent use of the phrase, "Oh my God," which some people just say as any expression of something serious, something significant. It can be an expression of delight, an expression of surprise. It can be an expression of shock. It can be an expression of concern. It can be of alarm. It can be an expression of almost anything, and it just flows out so easily. I'm afraid that is an example of profanity, which is an aspect of unholiness. Profanity is treating holy things as if they are common. Profanity is without due regard, without reverence for those things which ought to be held sacred, starting, of course, with God. We know how the Jews treated the name of God with such reverence that they wouldn't even pronounce it. That is why, by the way, that we don't really know for sure how to pronounce the Old Testament name of Jehovah. Most Bible scholars now prefer to pronounce that Yahweh. You say, that doesn't sound like Jehovah. Well, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so I can't tell you all the ins and outs, but here's the problem. Number one, the problem is that in Old Testament Hebrew, there were no vowels. There were only consonants. The vowels were understood. People who read the words, spoke the language, they recognized the words, they knew how it was pronounced. They filled in the vowels from their own experience and knowledge, and they didn't write them. They just wrote the consonants. If you saw the consonants of the word, you knew what the word was, and your mind supplied the vowels. But, of course, that's not very helpful to someone who doesn't know and speak the language. And so, along the way, vowels were added to the consonants so that people who were learning the language would know what the vowels were. But they weren't in the original. But the second problem with how to pronounce the name Jehovah is that the Jews wouldn't pronounce it. Now, whatever you think of that, it may be overreaction to the problem of profanity. It may be letting the pendulum swing too far the other way, because I don't find any indication in Scripture that God does not want his children to pronounce his name. But at least it showed the high regard, the holiness with which they regarded the name of God. They considered his name to be sacred, holy, not to be treated lightly, not to be, it had to be different and separate from everything else, not even included in normal conversation, in normal vocabulary. It just would not be pronounced. When they would come to that name, they would just say the sacred name. They wouldn't say Yahweh or Jehovah or Jehovah. They wouldn't say God said. They would say the sacred name said. Seems a bit unnatural to us. But we tend to go too far the other way, don't we? We in America today tend to make everything common. Nothing is sacred. Nothing is off limits. Nothing is special. Nothing is revered. Nothing is to be held in high esteem. Everything is to be pulled down, down, down to the lowest common denominator, including God and sacred things, and that's profanity. And profanity also includes the concept of having no sympathy for religion, irreligious, secular, and often militantly so. Now, that's the other concept. We're talking about unholiness, the eighth manifestation of human depravity in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Where men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. The last word in verse 2. Unholy. False religion or hypocritical religion is bad, but to be unholy in the profane sense, rather than simply in the impure sense, is one step away from that. It is to be openly opposed to religion. Openly opposed toward biblical righteousness, openly opposed toward everything that God says is good, openly in favor of everything that God says is bad. Isn't that the day in which we live? Isn't that the climate in which we live, the culture in which we live, the society in which we live? There are millions of people in America today who seem hell-bent on dragging every good thing down. If the Bible teaches us to do it, we're against it. If the Bible forbids it, we're in favor of it, and militantly so. That is unholiness to the nth degree. That is a characteristic of the sinful human heart. That is a characteristic of growing unholiness that comes out of human depravity as time rolls on and as we come closer and closer to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Don't get accustomed to unholiness in this world around you. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.